Base Eor, Tuesday the 21st of April, Dian Chanoch Friedman, Mor Shilas on Choshen Mishpot.
Good morning, Rabbis. I'll tell you a true story. It shouldn't happen to anybody. But in Eretz Yisrael, one person, he didn't have money to get a mashkanta on, to take out a loan from the bank to buy a dira. That could be. So somebody else said, okay, I'm a friend of yours, I'll take it out on my name. The dira will be on my name. And you have a loan, and you know, you pay the loan. So that's what he did. No, there's no question of ribbis. That was no problem. That was the least of our worries. That wasn't the problem. But what happened was, the fellow actually took it out of his name. Let's say, Reuben wanted it, and in the end, Reuben couldn't do it, so Shimon did it. Then he wrote it over to Reuben at the end. But Al Kapanim, Shimon, who took it out from the bank. When you take from the bank, you also have to take insurance, because the bank won't give you a mortgage without insurance, life insurance, in case the person dies or something, that they should be covered. Now, Shimon took it out in his name. Unfortunately, he shouldn't have to anybody, was murdered by the Arabs.
Reuben.
No, took out his name.
Reuben took
out his name. Reuben was the fellow actually took it out on his name. He won the bank, no. So when he went to the bank, it was on his name, and then he wrote over the other fellow. But the fellow who took out the mortgage in his name was murdered by the Arabs. And then they got a letter from the insurance from the bank a couple months later that the mortgage is paid because she sells insurance and the fellow took it out is deceased. Then the mortgage is paid. Now arose the question: the children of the one who took out the mortgage say, "Okay, you were supposed to." My father took out a mortgage and for you, had a deer in his name, he wrote it over to you, and you were supposed to pay monthly. So the insurance company paid my mortgage, but you still owe me the money. So you should pay me monthly, not those sub at once, but just as the mortgage payments were over the next 20 years, continue to pay me further. And the fellow originally wanted the mashkanta, whatever we'll call him. He said, "What do you mean? The whole idea was that I pay you what it costs you. What? But you have no cost. Since you have no cost, so I shouldn't have to pay you anything. So what do you people think? Always a chayshe mishpat. I hear what other people think before." What?
He has to pay.
What, do you think so?
Let's check. The
case is clear, first of all?
I'll just check it. Reuben paid all the premiums for the life insurance.
Who's Reuben? The fellow took out the...
Yeah, the guy who really owned the flat, not the shliach.
The fellow who was written over to, the one who wanted it originally.
Yes.
He paid all his expenses.
All expenses, all life expenses. Insurance and everything.
Paid all expenses, okay. Now, what do you people think?
If he pays, then he should have to pay.
He pays the life insurance, it's also...
What's the claim of the ownership? What are they claiming?
Oh, let me explain to you that there are two issues involved here. One is when, for instance, we'll get to the issue of the insurance. That's a second issue. But before we get to the issue of the insurance, let's get to it in principle. If, for instance, someone needed a loan, and the Malva won't lend him, he doesn't know him. So someone volunteers, the Malva knows me, and I'll go get a loan. I can't stand her. I don't know him. You, I know. Then the news.
Are you guaranteeing the loan or are you giving the loan?
Let me explain. If I'm giving the loan, I'm getting the loan. I'm the lawyer.
Getting the loan.
Getting the loan. No, listen. Let me explain. A person who took it on his name, what is he doing? Is he giving a loan or getting a loan? He's getting a loan, then he's giving it further.
He's loaning it from
the next question, is he lending it to the
other person? Yeah, definitely. He's giving him the deal. He's lending it. Definitely lending it. He's not giving him for free. I can't only speak. I want to explain to you the principles involved. I say, first of all, that if a person couldn't get a loan, someone else says, okay, I'll take a loan. Now, I go to him, Mr. Marvin knows you, if you look to be respectable, I'll give you £10,000. You're Kenneth Jen, and you know I'll lend you the money. Now, let's say for some reason, the Marvin decides to be Michael, the one that took the loan actually. It can't come the third party and say that I'm parted from paying you. After all, if I took a loan on my name, the mob was away from me. You stole the money that I borrowed for you. That's clear. That's 100%. Another thing we have to know in halacha is also that the second that, for instance, if you tell me you're going somewhere and buy something for me, so the second that I buy, you already automatically owe me the money. If I was your shliach to buy something, then I laid out money, or the same thing is, so according to those two principles, the second that I take a loan on my name from the bank, you immediately owe me all that money. I took a loan on the bank for mashkante, £100,000, whatever it is, so you owe me immediately that money. Now, the whole question is here, so for that reason, it should seem that if the fellow took the loan out in his name, the other party should pay his yorshim. The only question which should be raised here is, one, perhaps you make up and then you pay me only what it cost you, not more. He never went into the deal, I'm asked to make a profit. But on the other hand, just as I told you the case, that if you needed a loan, and the fellow lent me the money, and then he's making me, I also never went into the deal to make a profit. But yet, it's definite that the other fellow owes me the money. And the once I took a loan in my name, you owe me the money. If I was making me, there's no question, no connection to you. The only question that could possibly be raised is that since the original fellow who wanted the loan on his name paid his expenses, then maybe you'd say that he's the owner of the insurance policy. But we have to know it was never made up that he's going to be the owner of the policy. It was made up that he pays all expenses. For instance, if you had to travel to New York to get the loan, so pay your expenses. But it wasn't made up that he's going to be the owner of the policy. I just made up that he's paying all expenses required to take the loan. But the owner of the policy was actually the person who took the loan on his name. For that reason, I think that they have to continue paying. Since one person took the loan out on his name, and the insurance was on his name, and then he wrote over the deed. So immediately we did that, the other person owes him the money. So even though the insurance policy paid off the mortgage because he was murdered, the other party has to continue paying his yorshim. That's what I think. Okay, that's...
Although he paid the insurance too?
He paid it not because he was the owner of the policy. He paid his expenses. Any expenses you had, like if you were to travel to New York to get the loan, he paid that also, not that he became the owner of the policy. He became it as a matter of expenses. There wasn't a separate deal that I'm the owner of the insurance. I never thought about that.
Is the insurance an expense or is the insurance insuring?
That was an expense against the loan. Neither one of them had interest in insurance. It was only a means of getting the loan. You need a loan. I got you a loan. That's all. Whatever the bank would ask me. If they would ask me for red tape, I would do that too. Whatever is needed, that's what I got it.
What would happen if the one who bought the house with the money, he didn't pay back the one who took the loan?
No, pay me back. I'm in trouble. I have to go on basis. The bank knows only the person who borrowed the money, and he trusted the other person.
Okay,
so if he would renegade the third party, then the bank would come directly only to the person who took it on his name.
So it's a proper loan. It's
that's what I said. That's why they have to pay him.
Yeah.
Now they brought up two other points. There could be a point that maybe we made up only what it cost you, and therefore never cost you. And then I said, we see that it's not that way. It's just like, when I would take a loan for somebody else, and then the mob would be making me, even though I never went into the deal. I'm an ass to make a profit, but yet, for sure I could run the money from the other party. Once I took a loan in my name, and I lent you, if whatever the mob does to me has no shaykhahs with you. Second, on that brought up a point, the other person paid for the insurance. But he said that wasn't looked upon as a separate deal that I'm buying insurance policies. Like sometimes you buy a policy for an old man, you think perhaps you'll make a profit because he's not going to live to 98. But here there wasn't such a deal. All we talked about, I'll pay the expenses in order to get a loan. But it was never talked about that he should be an owner of a policy.
The yardship only on the
Karen,
or they have to continue paying interest? I mean,
assuming... Well, whatever the deal, the whole loan, that's what I said. Immediately when I buy something for you, whatever I was machayev myself, immediately you owe me. That's culturally wholesome.
But you can make eventually a condition that all the rights,
if you marry, you definitely can marry. But nobody thought of such a thing. Just like the situation where one person borrowed money for the other one. Nobody thought suddenly the mob was going to be moichel the other party. If you made up, you made up. But this is the stone in the middle, so without making up, this is what the letter of the law is. You owe the money. There was no mechila. There's no umdina. So that's what the halacha should be. Now, I'll ask you another case. During the time of Shemitah, so vegetables or payers, some of them have Kedusha Shviyas, so they don't want to sell it to people. Maybe they're not Zohirin Kedusha Shviyas, or whatever it is. So you buy Bavloa. Bavloa means instead of paying $100 for the Esrei, or £100 for the Esrei, you pay for the Lulav, you pay for the box. And the Lulav and the Esrei you get for free. Now, at a wedding, a person had a caterer, and the vegetables were spoiled. So he comes to the caterer, you should take off for money because the vegetables were spoiled. So the caterer tells him, what do you mean? The vegetables he got for free, it was not long. The meat was good. So I told them that, you see, if you'll buy a Coca-Cola and from a machine, you'll pay a pound or two. But if you go to the wonderful story hotel, you may pay £50 for it. The same thing is, when you hire a caterer, it's supposed to be a five-star affair. If it's a five-star affair, you're paying a certain price. So once something is spoiled, even if you don't pay for that directly, it's no longer the same Ramah. It's not a five-star catering. It's just a regular dinner. So that definitely has to go off the price. Instead of charging as a caterer, a five-star caterer, but just a regular dinner, and you pay for the food. That's what we possibly in that case. Then, another case I'll tell you, what happened was a person went to a drugstore, a chemist, and he needed a certain medicine. So the druggist... the druggist put it together. I'm in the middle of a shear, I'll call you afterwards. The I don't know who he was even. The chemist put them together. The chemist put the medicines together, the druggists. All right, they told him it cost 100 pounds. So the fellow didn't have 100 pounds, and he thought he needed the medicine very badly. So the chemist, when he turned his back, the fellow grabbed the medicine and ran out of the store. So we know what that is. That's gezel. That didn't we know for sure what that loch is. But what happened was, the fellow took the medicine, and it turned out that the chemist gave him the wrong medicine. And the fellow got quite ill from it. Now, he came and he claimed damages from the chemist. So the chemist says, what do you mean claim damages? You stole the medicine. I mean, now, his claim was, you see, there's a halacha, even if you don't buy something, if you come to a person with an expert in jewelry, and you tell him, you ask him, is this real? And he looks at it, he says, it's 100% a gem. Then you buy it from the next guy, and then later on, it's found out it was a piece of glass. There was nothing there, so he has to pay you. Because Chazi Dalokos Sabchina, you relied on him, and you had a loss because of him, it's Dinin de Gami. So his claim is, the fellow who says, that I took the medicine, I took it because you're an expert, you told me this medicine is good. And it wasn't, so pay my damages. So you think he has a claim or not?
No.
Why?
He had to give it over. It wasn't his because he didn't pay.
It's not a question of his, it doesn't have to be his. Not a question of Kenyan. It's not a question of Kenyan. It means that you gave me a bad advice, I took your advice. But I agree with you.
As long as he didn't pay, it's not his, so he...
It's not a question of his, but I would tell you...
He didn't give bad advice, he gave him correct advice. I mean, he made a mistake on that.
That's good advice. It took some person bad for 2 weeks.
If I would have burgled your house, and I steal your medicine, on the box it says it's medicine A, but read it in says medicine B. Can the burglar claim?
No, but I'm not. Here I told you that was good. Here I told you it was good. But I'll tell you why I agree with you. I agree with you, but I'll tell you a reason why I think that the chemist could tell him it wasn't because of my advice that your trouble came. Why? Because if you would have told me you had no money, I wouldn't have given it to you then. So why you'd have to come back to the store another time? By then I could have caught my mistake. Who says I'd make a mistake twice? So it wasn't my mistake that caused it necessarily. Who says my mistake? You stole it. If you went to borders, you had no money. I don't give it out cash on delivery. If you would have, you have to come back a second time. By then, I would not have made a mistake twice. So it's not my mistake that caused it. But, yeah, we're talking about Dinner de Gami. So Dinner de Gami is only if I caused it. So I didn't cause it. You caused it to yourself.
But what if he goes to the chemist across the road based on your advice? And he's lost his chance to, instead of stealing it, he goes to the chemist across the road.
He made a mistake. It's his fault. I mean, what has this chemist got to do with the other chemist? If the other chemist will do it, he'll give him the medicine.
Without asking for advice from the second chemist, he just says, I want this medicine. Basically,
what's medicine? The fellow puts it together, different ingredients. He gives him the receipt, what he's supposed to find.
But
so.
It's not advice. It's a product. Not advice.
So what? I didn't give it to you. I didn't mean to say I put it together. I pay for your product that you put together. It's your creation.
Yes,
so I would have had a different one. I would have.
Then you go to back to a Kenyan, which is a different
situation. Even without a Kenyan. That means you give me, I go to your expertise to put something together and give me something. So I rely on your expertise. This is good. But anyway, I told you.
What if a thought described and actually had no money?
Excuse me?
The doctor prescribed and actually handed it over.
I got to give you the wrong medicine?
The doctor prescribed and actually gave it to the patient.
Then could be a room for liability. If he gives you something which is damaging for you, and there's room for liability, he's a gummy. You rely on him and give something wrong, that's for sure. The only thing is here is not, because he could say, you will never get it. It wasn't my fault. It's your fault. If you wouldn't have taken it, it could be, I would have found my mistake, I wouldn't have given it to you.
Gandalf has the same answer, because he could have said, I would have taken the medicine, I would have got better, and I would have come back and paid you.
I don't understand what you mean. I wasn't giving it to you for free, and the guy has an answer. What do you mean? I'm not asking money from the guy. I'm not asking him money now. He's come to ask me money. Ask me, I say, I'm not at fault.
Why has the chemist got the duty to give advice when it's stolen from
him? Well, not to give a person the wrong medicine. If the chemist would know it's the wrong medicine, can he give the man a wrong medicine? If the man will do wrong and steal it, can he give him the wrong medicine and tell him someone's going to damage you? Can he give him poison?
He didn't give it to him.
The governor still has to pay for the medicine that he took, no?
If he stole it,
it was the wrong one. He still has to pay for it, no?
Because it wasn't what I asked. Could be sponsored from that too. Could be because the Mechatayas. He doesn't have to pay for that either, because not what I asked for. He gave me somewhere I didn't ask for.
The chemist can tell you if you would have come back, then I would
have. Now we think about it. Pasha's under the present circumstances of Mechatayas.
Doesn't the Ganav have a responsibility? Because once he steals it, he owns it, so it's his problem.
But I'm asking, if I give you a bomb and you didn't know it, is that your problem? I mean, there's an element that they're relying on somebody, an expert, but the problem is that he caused it himself. Now,
you should have asked if it was the right medicine.
Now I'll tell you a story that happened by the Masham. The Masham. The Rav Shamish Majon's great. The Masham. The great Masham. So, there was a city, a small town, had a big problem. And they tried many ways. The shtatlis didn't work. So they decided they're going to send money to a big tzaddik. The schuss of the tzaddik, the schuss of his prayers, the schuss of the tzaddik. I'm sure I'll come to Yishurim and HaShemayim. So then they sent the money by mail, a check by mail. And before the letter got there, there was a guy Yeshua. So some people tied it. The Litvak tied it. So it was a Mechatayas. We worry about that. That's supposed to be the tzaddik. Should help me. Before he got it, knew anything about it. I already came with Yeshua.
What's the fact they sent it?
Could be. But I'll tell you what the Masham Paskin. He brought a raya from a Gemara. They were told that in the time of the Plishtim, that David HaMelech wanted to bring the Oran Hashem back from the Plishtim. And then when Uzzah died, David HaMelech decided it wasn't time. So he left it by the Plishtim. Now, it was by him 3 months. And the Torah says in the Navi that Hashem blessed him. There's this guy, what he blessed him with, that his wife during those 3 months gave birth to 6 Shishi Bekeres Echad, 6 children successfully. Now the Hashem says that if she gave birth in 3 months, so apparently she had conceived 6 months before. And this guy knew nothing about the Oran at all 6 months earlier. So what do you mean Hashem blessed him because of this? Apparently here is the cloud. The Mishnah Malach says that even if a person is going to do an Aveira in the future, doesn't put that in the Cheshbon now, by Sher Hashem. But a mitzvah that a person is going to do in the future, Abay Hashem can really give him reward before he does it. He says, for that reason, the same thing, because you wanted to give money to this tzaddik, even though it wasn't given yet, he knew nothing about it, and that's chus. It could be you got the Yeshua, therefore it's not a Mechatayas. That's what he paskin there. Now, I'll tell you another case. Reb Yitzchak Zilberstein passed in one way, but I think the din is the opposite. I'll hear what you people think. It's open for discussion. There's a fella, you know, he works as a workplace, and every day he puts his lunch in the cubbyhole there, and for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, every day they're stealing his lunch. His lunch is not there. So he decided what he's going to do tomorrow. He was a chochem. I don't say he's a chochem, a wise guy. He decided he's going to put poison into the lunch. So sure enough, tomorrow, the next guy, a half hour after break, they see somebody, it's polishing away there. Come, they saved his life. So the question is a person allowed to do this? No. So this exhibition Paskin, the person is allowed to do it. Because he says, who tells him to steal? What?
He
knew he was going to steal. He wants to protect. They shouldn't steal from him in the future.
You must give.
He has the brayo not to take it. Habale shelo soichal. He has a brayo not to eat. I know he's going to eat. I don't know definitely. I'm doing cases going to eat it. But that's how he passed it. I agree with you. I'll tell you why I think it's not right. Maisha didn't kill him, but I think it's not right. I do agree, for instance, if a Ganav is coming to your home, you have the right to fight with him. I mean, the Gemara says it's a Chana. Well, I'll begin you have the right to fight with him, even if he comes to a point when the fist fight, you endanger him. Why? But there's a difference. Because two reasons are different. First of all, the Ganav has the Abrera to stop fighting every second. If he stops fighting, you're not going to hit him anymore. You're only hitting him in order to protect that he shouldn't steal further. And also, no, I'm not talking about the Chachia kill him. I'm talking about a regular fist fight, even though it may come to a point where the people who are fighting, he may get endangered also. Two, you're preventing him from stealing. One, you're preventing him from stealing. It's not a punishment later, and I'm allowed to protect my money. Two, the man has the choice. Let it will stop at any second. He won't get hit anymore. So it's as if he's doing it to himself. Masha Eng came in a situation where the Ganav doesn't realize that he's taking poison and doesn't prevent him from stealing. And just a punishment later, there is no reason to do it, and I'll tell you why. Because I don't believe you're allowed to do any more than what you would do in a situation where you knew Lahadja. He's a Ganav and you confront him. The Chachila, you cannot kill him if he only came for money. You're allowed to fight to protect yourself, even if it will escalate that during the fight because he has the ability to stop and it prevents it. But not in this case. I think if a person does that, a chas show some him the other person, then it's a gram ritzicha. Your potter bin yodam, a chayav bin yishamayim. But the Gemara says, like if somebody puts even a samamovis, if nei behemus chaveroi, then the din is potter bin yodam, a chayav bin yishamayim. Potter bin yodam, avale, shalo toichal, but a chayav bin yishamayim. So if he daiti, the din is you're not allowed to do that. If you put something in, the person will get sick. He won't get poisoned. He'll get sick. Maybe that you're allowed to. For instance, if you like your sandwich with oil, and the Ganav is allergic to oil, he'll get a bad stomach. You don't have to worry about that. I put my lunch in the cupboard. I don't have to eat without oil because the Ganav may take oil. But something which is poison, that you're not allowed to put.